Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on SportsGrid. This is the early line on a Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. The quarterback movement continues. But first, DRS, how you feeling?
I feel good. You're right. Quarterback's on the move here. And we take a look in the NBA tonight, a standalone game in the city of brotherly love, where Ben Simmons comes back to sit on the bench and watch his Nets get pounded by the Sixers. But we got games tipping off at 11 o'clock today. Conference tournament week now in full effect, as we talked about, Kevin, the big boys coming into play. Now they are actually starting to hit the court now. Good times.
It is incredible, though, that despite all of the fantastic things going on in the Hoops universe, NFL leads us off as Carson Wentz returns to the NFC East. The Indianapolis Colts trade him to the Washington Commanders. Couple of thirds, a second-round swap that people are overvaluing, obviously. We have a lot to break down here, Donnie, but Carson Wentz back in the NFC East.
It's so good. I mean, you're moving like, you know, Russell Wilson from Seattle to Denver. Aaron Rodgers saying, I'm staying put in Green Bay. The very next day, we get Carson Wentz on the move back to the NFC East, which is going to be tremendous TV and theater with Carson Wentz playing the Philadelphia Eagles two times this year. And also keep in mind, going back to Indianapolis midseason as well. Great stuff to talk about, which only begs to differ, Kevin. Is today the day Deshaun Watson is on the move? Could be.
Could be. Probably going to have to wait till Friday, but I think it also just begs the question, what does this do for Washington? And also, what are they doing in Indianapolis? People overvaluing Jimmy Garoppolo once again. Though I was told this wasn't going to hurt his trade value. We'll get there. Next headline. Major League Baseball cancels more games. It's their own decision. There's no deadline. They made the deadline. Baseball is incredibly, incredibly stupid with the way they operate here. I honestly feel like this is a waste of time to even discuss. If they legitimately want, they could go back and say, sorry, never mind, we don't cancel the games. Whatever, Donnie, they've canceled more games in Major League Baseball as we creep closer to this team playing under the 120.5 number that you and I have fictitiously set.
I think they're going to actually play more than that now because they're close. They're on the precipice of a deal. But it's just I sort of start to laugh at this, Kevin, because you know what's going back and forth here? It's almost like the Major League Players Union says, okay, here's what the numbers are. Let's get back to Major League Baseball. They hand over the proposal. In baseball, the owners go behind closed doors and laugh and, like, change the paperwork and then hand it back. And be like, what are you talking about? This is always the same deal that we had before. We just negotiated this number here. What do you mean? That number was never there. It just seems like a game of cat and mouse. It's going to end sooner or later. But you got to be kidding me. Like, it's a billions dollar pie that you're trying to divide up, and you're basically fighting over nickels and dimes at this point. Get this thing done. So what, you want to miss the first 2 weeks of the season? I understand that, because it's bad weather anyway, and just get back on the field. But my goodness, come to an agreement. Enough of this nonsense.
I hope that's what's going on. They've realized that they're so often canceling opening day games, Donnie, that they said, you know what, man? We should be playing in this cold weather anyway. We really should start in a bubble down in Miami, right? Yeah, I know.
No, they should be doing that, because I got a feeling that is somehow these negotiations taking place in Indianapolis, where they just look out the window like, man, What is this?
No one's motivated to get anything done because they're better off staying in the boardroom than going outside. Yeah, I know, man.
Absolutely.
Golly,
that's what's going on.
I tell you what, I'd rather talk about Indy versus Miami weather situations than this next headline here. The Los Angeles Lakers, who cares, man? The Lakers lose in overtime to the Houston Rockets, 139-130. The radio audience is in the mix here. It's the early line on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Post-game, Jalen Green, who has been in the NBA for about 60 games, scored 32 points. They asked him, what were you doing well? He goes, yeah, our plan was to attack Carmelo Anthony. Goodness me, DRS, the Lakers never failed a surprise.
Yeah, so the Lakers pick up a win a few nights ago against a decent NBA team, and then they go, you know what's the best part about this? Let's rest LeBron in the next game because, you know, we have two bad teams on the Texas swing we're playing. Who would have thought they would get run up the flagpole by two Texas teams here, and now you're going backwards, but again, it doesn't matter because why? The Los Angeles Lakers sit back each and every night while they take their charter jet and they, hey, what was that Portland score? All right, we're solid here.
Hey, listen, man, they're going to have to kick them out of the NBA, though. Really, right? This Portland team, like this, they lost by 40 again. That Portland team has to go. It's unbelievable, man. Look, other NBA headlines. Bucks won their sixth straight. Giannis into the 40s again. Jason Tatum, red hot, 44 and a win versus Charlotte. Very, very impressive what he's doing. We're going to break down the ACC as well. Buddy Boeheim suspended, though, for that game versus Duke, Donnie. The Boeheim's in some trouble.
Yeah, they are in some trouble here. You're already up against it, going against Duke on short rest here, but then you're going to basically take one of your best, if not your best player, out of the equation. That one's going to hurt Syracuse today, but it's a noon tip in the city, Kevin, in the heart of New York City, right?
Yeah, and I tell you what, New York City is going to have to enjoy that basketball because certainly nothing even remotely local is going to be playing inside the tournament there. Iona, Rick Pitino, dominate the MAC. First game in the quarterfinals, double-digit favorite, Ryder, 71, Iona, 70. Oh, my goodness, man. Tim Kloos every year. To the tournament. Rick Pitino's going to save the program. No, apparently not. Not good in Iona. Oh, my goodness. How are they not going to the tournament?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carson Wentz has been traded back to the NFC East from Philly to Indianapolis 1 year with the Colts, despite everyone telling me that Frank Reich is the entire reason that the Eagles won a Super Bowl. Seems like he couldn't fix Carson Wentz. He's gone after one season and is now with the Washington Commanders. There's a lot to unpack here on both sides because the Colts, who want to compete for a Super Bowl, don't even have a quarterback. Washington has been waiting to fill their quarterback position, tried to bring in a Russell Wilson. They were hoping they could be in the mix, maybe even on an Aaron Rodgers, but ultimately it's going to be Carson Wentz filling in for this team at the quarterback position this year. Talk to me, Donnie, your initial reaction seeing Carson Wentz now with Washington Commanders.
Initial reaction for me is, what's next? What's on deck for the Indianapolis Colts? Because obviously we know Carson Wentz is on the move back to the NFC East to play with the Washington Commanders, and that's all fine and good. And then we'll see if that improves their quarterback room. Because if you ask honest people, they say, okay, Carson Wentz is on the move. Forget about the compensation. Are the Washington Commanders a better football team today than they were yesterday? Absolutely they are. Taylor Heineke, you know, good young quarterback trying to make his way around the league. He's not a starter. It's not going to work out. Ryan Fitzpatrick, good for like two or three game stretches, and he's so old he can't compete anymore. So Wentz is better for the Commanders at this time. And certainly if the Commanders can stay healthy on offense, Kevin, we talked about it notably all season long. Wide receiver position never was healthy. Tight end position, hit or miss. Decent young running back, good offensive line, just didn't work out. But let's take a look at the Colts here. What are we doing with the Colts? Because I love, Kevin, I love waking up and reading Twitter. I love when the trade goes down to read Twitter because there's always sides here. Guys who hate Carson Wentz, guys who like Carson Wentz, and then there's the middle. Like, I could see this work out. Let's see it play out. But my favorite storyline is this. Like, ooh, you know what's going to happen now? The Carson Wentz got traded. Now they're going to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just scratched my head, and I put it out yesterday on Twitter. Like, last year, you know me. Carson Wentz got traded to the Colts. You see that line, 8.5. Like, I love it to the over. Carson Wentz battles through that first half of the season on basically no legs. Everybody's injured. Fights through. Gets that team total for me and cashes it in. I'm the opposite way this year on Indianapolis. Unless, Kevin, they get a real quarterback. You say, well, Donnie, Jimmy Garoppolo, look what he's done for San Francisco. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is that guy that says, okay, he can take a snap and throw a 3-yard slant pass, and good luck with that. Hopefully, Deebo Samuel rumbles into the end zone repeatedly for me. That's him. And also, when you take a look at Jimmy Garoppolo, who might be coming to Indianapolis, you say to yourself, if Carson Wentz was in San Francisco, they might have two Super Bowls right now, two of them. Because the only reason San Francisco doesn't have a few rings on their finger is because of their quarterback. So if you're Indianapolis and you say to yourself, all right, we're one piece away, it's a quarterback, and you're telling me it's Jimmy Garoppolo. And also, one last point on this. You're going to have to give up compensation for Jimmy Garoppolo. So whether it's more than the stuff that you got back from the Washington Commanders, or you have to add a little bit more, which you already did the year before, know this. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to make about $25 million this year on the last year of his deal. There's no way Jimmy Garoppolo is getting traded from San Francisco to go to Indy on a quote-unquote look-see contract. You're going to have to open the vault and pay him what, Kevin? 5 years? $200 million with a lot of guaranteed money? And that's your answer? Should have just kept with Carson Wentz here.
It is, if they land with Jimmy Garoppolo, a horrific move, despite the fact it appears all of Chris Ballard's family is working in sports media as they praised an awful trade. I want to unpack the Colts in a little bit later, though, because Wentz to Washington is, again, something people clearly don't have the ability to grasp. See, the thing is, and I don't know if this is with being an Eagles fan or perhaps just paying a little bit closer attention, Carson Wentz is someone that people have really always struggled to digest. He's one of those guys that people seem to really enjoy taking shots at. And hey, listen, I get it. Donnie and I tune in every day wondering who's next to catch the slander. But there are some very easy numbers directly in front of you. Last year, Washington quarterbacks combined for 21 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Carson Wentz last year had 27 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. I mean, Carson Wentz is a marked upgrade over everything that this team was doing at the quarterback position last year. The Washington football team was 7-10 coming off of winning a division. Yes, obviously doing so with a losing record. But nevertheless, people were hoping that this group would take steps forward, and they obviously did not take those steps forward. The Washington football team got better. There is nothing more important than the quarterback position, and the Washington football team, or excuse me, the Commanders, I'm actually now stuck on football team. The Commanders went out there and for a couple of thirds and a pick swap in the second round, got themselves a quarterback. And again, look at the landscape out there of QBs that are available. Russ is off the board. Rodgers is going back. Brady's retired. Jimmy Garoppolo stinks. We'll talk about that in a minute. Deshaun Watson, maybe, but we just don't know what the future holds for Deshaun Watson. Bringing in Carson Wentz is a boost to this franchise, because here is the thing that for some reason people can't grasp about a guy that finished top three MVP in his NFL career. Carson Wentz is at minimum a top 16 quarterback in the NFL. Because everybody's going to try and tell you that Wentz was terrible last year. Let me give you five statistics. Five statistics to try and capture his quarterback play. He finished 10th in touchdown passes. He finished 3rd in interception percentage. He finished 13th in adjusted net yards per attempt. By the way, the top five for that, just so everybody knows, Rodgers, Brady, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow. It's the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Passer rating, he's 13th. QBR, he's 9th. Not he was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL last season. But people are like, oh, they lost to Jacksonville. I mean, he was the only one out there on the field. That's news to me, Donnie. It's a great day for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, they should pick up at quarterback, but I don't know how far Washington is actually going to go with this move because I just don't think that organization is very competent overall. But let's take a look at Carson Wentz and go down that path where he's, for the, I should say the audience, that he stinks. Well, comes into the league 2016 as a rookie. Not a great Eagles team. Why? Because they drafted Carson Wentz because they were bad. Second year, he's the best player in football. He's the single best player in football. If he doesn't get hurt, they probably still go on to win the Super Bowl. And also, he's the MVP of the league. 2018, comes back from that knee injury, fractures his back, still has a passer rating, Kevin, that year of over 100. And my favorite Philadelphia Eagles season with Carson Wentz, which some people still come out and say, well, the only year was good, 2017. If anybody, forget even being an Eagles fan, Carson Wentz won the division with a bunch of UPS drivers and cashiers at your grocery store at the wide receiver and running back position in 2019, and probably would have beat the Seattle Seahawks with nothing around him if he didn't get his head caved in from Jadeveon Clowney on a cheap shot. 2020, hey, he was really bad with the Philadelphia Eagles. Did you see that Eagles team running like a 7th and 8th backup defense or offensive tackles? The line was decimated, and your best wide receiver again was Greg Ward Jr. off of the practice squad. Not making excuses for Carson Wentz, but the whole thing is like he really can't play. Let me ask you also a question, Kevin. If they had gone out and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 7-6, like, you know, 6 points was a lot for the Jaguars, primarily for the season, Carson Wentz would still be back in Indianapolis and we would hear nothing. But the fact that they were so dismal in that football game as a team, he's going to wear the brunt of it. Now, rightfully so, quarterbacks get a lot of the adulation when you win and a lot of the damage when you lose. But I just love the fact that says Carson Wentz is horrendous. And he said, well, what did he do last year? I don't know, 27-7 ratio. Oh, that's not that bad. Yeah, it's not that bad. And that's what Washington's getting, a decent quarterback that will be better than what they currently have in the room.
But again, and here's the crazy thing as we get set to unpack the Indianapolis Colts. And the Washington right now, their numbers kind of stayed steady here post the trade. 55-1 to win a Super Bowl. I think the number people will look at is the divisional odds, plus 450. Cowboys minus 125. The Birds are minus 310. The Giants and their future quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, LOL, are back there at plus 750. But the thing is, Donnie's right. If they beat the Jags, ugly, right? If they beat the Jags the way they wanted to, with Jonathan Taylor running for 203, they would have kept Carson Wentz. It's a short-sighted move. And that's why I don't understand what's going on in Indianapolis. Yesterday, people praising Chris Ballard. Not so much. We'll break it all down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Envision the trade a first-round pick to try and fill the void of a retiring quarterback. The quarterback that you bring in is reuniting with a former coach of his. And together they are set to go out there, compete for a division, and make the postseason. They ultimately fall short. And you trade that quarterback after one season for significantly less than you ultimately gave up to bring him in after the year before. And somehow, that timeline is getting Chris Ballard praise because he moved up 6 spots in the second round. I have no idea what this Indianapolis Colts discourse is. They, at best, seem like they are going to stay level at the quarterback position, except they may end up spending more money on a guy who's a bigger risk because outside of Kyle Shanahan, that sounds nightmarish. I don't understand, Donnie, how people have decided that Chris Ballard returning a couple of thirds and a second round selection won a deal with Washington as the Indianapolis Colts are currently going to be deciding between Sam Ellinger and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, and I guess that's the best options outside of getting Deshaun Watson being traded in the division. And, oh, yeah, you don't have a lot of draft capital because you already gave it up for getting Carson Wentz the first time. Because I think it's easy to say for most people, like, hey, look at what, well, you know, the trade to Washington, you go back to Indy and you say to yourself, okay, well, they're probably going to hit the draft for what quarterback? They're going to draft him in the third round? That's going to be their franchise guy? It's not like you can ready package a couple first-round picks this year or the next and get after it. You don't even have any this year. And also, what about this angle for the Indianapolis Colts? Because you're right. Frank Reich, to me, is a top-five coach in the NFL. Love the game plans. Love the way he executes. And if he gets a good quarterback, they can do some damage. But is this more of a, like, you know, me versus you problem? What I mean by that is the Indianapolis Colts, this isn't as if quarterbacks are fighting to get there and having long careers. Andrew Luck, 2018. Jacoby Brissett, 2019, Philip Rivers, 2020, Carson Wentz, 2021, another quarterback this year. Is this an organizational issue where they just ruffle the feathers of quarterbacks? Because correct me if I'm wrong. Like, yes, Philip Rivers was getting old. Philip Rivers had a decent season with the Colts. That's a pretty good franchise with a lot of talent. And he was like, you know what? It's time to hang him up here. And then after he hangs him up, goes, yeah, you know what? Anybody out there needs me, I'll be around. Now, hold on here. So you're saying you still have a flame to play football and you were just a starting quarterback in Indy with a good franchise. And you said, you know what? It's time to spend more time with the family and then realize I might want to get back into football, but maybe just not with the Colts at this time. So maybe it's a Colts problem here, Kevin, where they have the revolving carousel at quarterback and it's their fault, not the quarterback's fault.
It is. And this is why I spent so much time with this Russell Wilson news asking, where was Indianapolis? So you move on from Carson Wentz for Russell Wilson. Then I understand why people are praising Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
Yank Tom Brady out of retirement. What a job by Chris Ballard. Jimmy Garoppolo, it is unimaginable that people are going to try and place Jimmy G comfortably ahead of Carson Wentz. He isn't better and is coming from a better situation. And let me make sure I add this delightful caveat here, because people have often said, well, here's the other thing with Carson Wentz, man. Always injured. You know how many games Carson Wentz has missed because of injury the last 3 years? Zero. Not one. Not a single one. Do you know that Jimmy Garoppolo has missed 40% of the games that he was supposed to start over his last four seasons in San Francisco? 40%. Flip a coin. And it's almost as likely that Jimmy Garoppolo is not out there as he is. It is unimaginable that this team is going to go off of assets from Carson Wentz for Jimmy G. People yesterday were saying Chris Ballard, front runner for executive of the year. What is he, the only candidate? It's Brandon Staley 2.0. What is going on? It is actively disastrous. If you're in Indianapolis, it's a terrible day. I have a Jacksonville Jaguars ticket to win a Super Bowl. We're jazzed up in Jacksonville. I'm serious, Donnie. The Jags right now are rocking up with better quarterback play, a better head coach, and golly, after this deal, they might have a more competent organization. And I'm aware Trent Baalke's still there. What are they doing in Indy?
Yeah, it is interesting because, again, we're going to take a look at the FanDuel odds here to win a Super Bowl. So if you take a look at the Colts, who are basically quarterback-less right now, sitting at 25-1. Why? Because we're waiting for another shoe to drop, and that's going to determine what we're going to get as a final price. But when you look just behind them, right, 28-1, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, same thing, waiting for a quarterback. The New England Patriots, who do have a quarterback and a good franchise, they sit at 30-1. The Cleveland Browns, a talented roster, waiting on quarterback for them, sitting at 30-1. Same thing with the New Orleans Saints, 35-1. Philadelphia Eagles at 40-1. It's almost like they're in those holding patterns because those teams could A, upgrade, or B, downgrade at the quarterback position to see where they end up. I'm very interested to see what the Colts do because it's not as if you try to equate it to other cities, right? Philadelphia, three first-round picks. If they wanted to, they can go out and make a splash move for a quarterback, whether it be in the draft or getting a good NFL quarterback, because most teams will still pick up the phone and say, hey, what are you going to offer me? I don't know. Three ones this year? to reset your franchise. But if you look at the Colts, what do they pick up the phone and say? Like, hey, man, we're looking to reset our franchise. What do you got for me? I don't have any ones this year. We can give you one next year. Like, hold on now. You don't even have any draft capital to come get me for a player. And also, keep in mind, I know it's Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't know for sure what the Colts are thinking, but we're just trying to tie some of these tea leaves together and say, you know, is he really a possibility of going from San Francisco to the Colts? We have to remember, it's not just a parachute. It's not just Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut. You owe him no money and can renegotiate a friendly contract with him. You are giving up big compensation. And maybe the red herring here is Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw a football until the summer. Good luck with that one.
You know what, man? Isn't it great that I took my time to give people the percentage of starts that Jimmy Garoppolo has missed over the last 4 years to explain that he's injured instead of what Donnie just did there, let you know he's injured right now. He literally can't throw the football right now. It's crazy. It's nuts what's going on in Indianapolis. It's so bad. Please post odds whether or not this team will make the playoffs. Please. And here, like the Colts thing, by the way, like the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, it's a combination of they're reporting it and who's left. I mean, who is left? And this is why I prefer to offer up alternatives. It's maybe the only legitimate option on the table. Brady's not unretiring to go to Indy. Rodgers is done. Russ is done. You just moved on from Carson Wentz. Philip Rivers isn't coming back. Breeze isn't coming back. Call up Big Ben. It'd be the funniest thing in the history of the NFL. Deshaun Watson is not going to be traded in your division. There is one option that I can come up with, Donnie, on the table for this team. Call Vegas. Say you're going to be last in your division, and here's every pick that you could possibly want for the next 3 years as you try and take a deep breath and deal with the fact that somehow three of the top eight quarterbacks in the NFL are in your division. And by the way, Derek Carr might even be a top 10 quarterback himself. But right now, Vegas seems up against the eight ball. So and they don't seem to be all that certain whether or not they want to pay this guy. The Colts will pay him, Donnie. That's the marriage there to me. I think they need to be calling Vegas immediately.
And the Vegas knows this, right? Like, hey, yeah, you got no options out there. So how about we just, you know, break it down over the next 4 years and you give me your franchise? Because what are the alternatives? Hey, let's get out there. Maybe we can make a move and get Sam Darnold here. How about Cam Newton as a quarterback?
Oh,
how about you pry
goodness,
Daniel Jones loose in New York? Or better yet, you don't have to, hey, Chris Ballard, you don't have to give up any draft picks. How about if we splash down right in Indianapolis, a nice Mitchell Trubisky move here, drop back to pass here, what options do you, which is crazy. The whole part of this offseason, Kevin, that we look forward to was, all right, if you're going to move on from Wentz, that's fine, but you better improve that position significantly. Well, maybe Carson Wentz that we just don't know behind the scenes, you can't work with the guy. But if that was the case, why did Indy give up a one and Chris Ballard's a genius? So Chris Ballard seemed to be a genius being able to move on from Carson Wentz and not pay any additional salary. So who's working the room with Ron Rivera in Washington that they don't know that Carson Wentz is hard to deal with, willing to take him on once again? Quarterback is an unbelievable commodity in the NFL unless you don't have one. And right now the Colts, they don't have one.
I have to say, you did bring up a scenario that would be maybe – my favorite in NFL history. If the New York Giants, who are prepared to hand their franchise a Daniel Jones, Mitchell Trubisky quarterback battle, get beat on Mitchell Trubisky, that is the funniest thing in the world. Like, because that team every year, now Gettleman's gone, but basically Gettleman had apparently the worst poker face in the history of football. Every year, he'd be like, the Giants are linked to these three names. Bing, bang, bong. They'd all get picked right before the New York Giants. Just happened with Devonta Smith. Gettleman had no idea what to do. Took Kadarius Toney, probably a little too early. Every year. Donnie, Gettleman's gone. If they get beat to Trubisky, oh my goodness. Is that where we are? Trubisky battles, Donnie? Mitch Trubisky's running a bag
so
up?
Good.
Because he revamped his career for Buffalo? Here's the thing, Donnie. Buffalo's Super Bowl odds going to drop a little bit. You got to think Buffalo's Super Bowl odds come back a little bit now that the backup's not as good, right? Because, I mean, I don't know, it's going to impede on
Josh Allen's
job.
Giants play in the city.
Yeah, stop! play Jersey.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. Let's transition to college basketball. Huge day. College action. And it actually will be ACC games will tip off at noon Eastern with Duke in the mix versus Syracuse. Now, this game is one that Duke was always going to be favored in and always going to be favored comfortably in. But DRS, a little bit of bad news for Syracuse is Buddy Boeheim yesterday is throwing cheap shots mid-game. So despite beating FSU 96-57, Syracuse just lost their leading scorer going into a game versus Duke that they absolutely need to win if they want any chance at making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they basically have to run through the ACC tournament here, but that is a huge loss for them. Not just a bench guy comes off there. One of the guys that's going to be impactful each and every night. Now, this isn't a great Syracuse team already, Kevin, to begin with. Now down one of their better players, and you're going to play Duke. Let's also keep in mind, did we mention what time this game tips off again? 12 o'clock. This isn't like, hey, we played on Monday, Kev. Great, we've got a big matchup against Duke for Thursday. Let's get ready for it. No, you're playing the very next day in under 24 hours. Now, here's the key ingredient of this game, because both of these teams, when you try to break it down, it's not a great styles matchup. One team wants to shoot threes. One team chases you off that line. One team lets you shoot threes. The other team doesn't really want to shoot three-point shots. So that'll be interesting to find out. But also, we talked to Coach James Young a few days ago, and he has a very good point with Syracuse. One of the harder defenses to match up in college basketball is the matchup zone for Syracuse. Now, as I just said, hey, if we played on a Monday, Duke Blue Devils, let's just played Georgia Tech. Then they play again on a Thursday with Syracuse. Sure, they know Syracuse as an opponent. Jim Boeheim's been around for decades and decades here. So Coach Krzyzewski knows exactly how to break down that zone. But the players like to get those repetitions in. So if you're saying we don't know where we're going to play and all of a sudden, I don't know, 20 hours or less away, you're going to take on Syracuse. You get out the whiteboard and you start dialing up plays here, how you can beat it. But you don't have days and days and hours to practice it, which makes them a tough out. So typically when Syracuse starts to go on a run, it's because they have to play each and every day. And the opposing team, like Duke today, won't have a lot of time to prepare for that matchup zone. But having said that, there's no excuse for Duke today. I mean, roughly favored by 15 points in this one. They should easily dispatch of Syracuse. But if you see one of those games where Syracuse, keep in mind, was playing very well yesterday. They're high on confidence. Even without one of their better players, they're going to step on this court expecting and probably hoping to beat Duke at this point. Will they? Probably not. But there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that go around this, Kevin, in ACC play where you get a couple days off where now you're playing on a day-to-day basis.
It's such an odd spot when you factor in that start time, that Syracuse already played a game in the building. The thing, though, right, so Duke played Syracuse twice. They won by 25 and 20. I mean, they absolutely handled this team. Duke's three-point shooting is basically too good for the zone, and we know that they're kind of uncompromising. In the first game, they went 14 of 37 from three, and in the second meeting, they went 15 of 32 from beyond the arc. Duke is going to fire them away. And that's why you see them listed here as such a big favorite of 15. And then you don't have Boeheim. So that's the fascinating part, Donnie, right, trying to factor in. If I told you, you know, tonight's NBA board, right, hey, Steph's not going to play for Golden State. I think we could, you know, through all the action that we've followed, I can tell you, all right, this is what the line would have looked like with Steph, and here's what it probably wouldn't have. I don't know, Donnie, is this line 15 with Boeheim? Is this line 12? With Boeheim, you know what? I'm trying to factor in the fact that their leading scorer, a guy almost averaging 20 points per game, isn't out there on the floor.
Not huge. It's not going to be huge because it's not as if, like, hey, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing this week. Oh, boy, they were favored by seven. Now they're getting 3 points. A very good basketball player. He's probably worth a point or two, which sounds like, hey, man, like, this is 20 points. Shouldn't it be a 20-point swing? Because that's what, no, because other guys are actually going to fill it up. They're scholarship players. They're going to take those shots here. But it's a good point you bring up to see where that value would be, because if we're taking a look from a public notion right now, take the point spread out of it. You say, all right, Duke's already the better team. And, oh, no, Syracuse is going to lose one of their best players and not playing. It's very hard to come back and take Syracuse, but at the same time, you might want to wait up to a game time, because if that number moves to 15, and again, keep in mind on this, it's not college football. They're not playing for a spot in the, you know, playoffs where it's only the top four teams get in. If Duke wins this game and Coach K 74-73, they love that. Hey, we won. Survive in advance. That's all it's about. So there is no time right now where you're saying for Duke, like, hey, we got to win this game by 30 to really show the committee that we're a good basketball team. No, you know, you show the committee you're a good basketball team, win the ACC tournament. So I think a lot of that comes into play. And I do like the fact, however, Kevin, that they played yesterday against an athletic team that's having a down season and blew them off the court. I like teams that come off an emotional high. This wasn't a game where Syracuse played a sloppy game, 64-63, double overtime game where they were lucky to escape. They were on cruise control in this game, and a lot of those good vibes will be, as you said, in the building, same shooting lanes, probably same locker room, same hotel, same bus in. They're going to be ready to play today.
Yeah, 100%. Looking, just by the way, the player prompt market's not entirely posted up. One thing to keep your eye on, though, is A.J. Griffin and his made three-point shots at 2.5. Now, this isn't one of the numbers that you'll say, oh, he's hit this in 6 of his last 7, right? Sometimes the way we'll talk about an NBA prop here. It's just the two games versus Syracuse. 5 of 9 and 6 of 10 from beyond the arc. A.J. Griffin is a fantastic three-point shooter. One of the reasons that he will be a top 10 pick in the next year's coming draft. He's actually shooting a ridiculous 48.3% from three this season. As long as he gets up 8 attempts, which against this defense, he is going to, because that's the design, right, Donnie? A.J. Griffin makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And here's the point that you bring up, which is great, because if most people are just tuning in now and say, hey, man, I just don't really watch too much Syracuse basketball. They do have a very good defense, not particularly this year, but in the past they have. If you don't know how they play in this matchup zone, all they do is say, you're not getting into the paint. You're not getting easy layups. We will give you as many three-point shots as you want to take. 15 teams, Kevin, in the ACC. Syracuse, 15th in conference play at letting you shoot from three. It's almost a 50-50 split from 3 points to inside the arc to layups, everything. 50% of your shots from Duke today are probably going to come from three-point range. It's a very good look, because you're right. You can't quantify a certain player on Duke, because coming into this game, Duke is 12th out of 15 teams at shooting the three-point shot in the ACC. That's going to ramp up today because, again, as we said, Syracuse wants you to shoot the three-point shot. So anything on Duke that you look for, hey, this guy only makes one a game or this guy makes two a game, you can ramp them up about 50%, because why? Instead of them shooting maybe 3 or 4 three-point shots in a game, they might shoot 7 or 8 in this game. So it's a good look on those Duke players that will be forced to shoot three-point shots.
Another big game to bring up. We don't have reposted odds to win the ACC, but I think one thing, Donnie, we agreed on, and I know I certainly brought up, was a potential value on Virginia to make some moves within this tournament. Narrowly escaped Louisville. They won by 1, but this is the game tonight. They're going to play UNC. Line's not up yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You look around, though, it looks like it's going to be UNC laying about 4. Total 133.5. This is a spot, though, Donnie, that I know I'll be involved in, aside from talking about Virginia's futures, the overs. I sent this out yesterday. I had initially talked about it with Ben when I joined him on the morning after. There were 6 teams in the major conferences that played 70% or more of their conference games to the over. I'm looking to take those 6 teams and bet all of their conference tournament games over. Yesterday, Oregon State, and then a matchup actually involving 2 of the 6 in Kansas State and West Virginia, both went over the total. North Carolina fits the mold, and I couldn't be happier, because Donnie knows this. It's an odd thing. Nothing I love more than betting a Virginia game over. It's my absolute favorite in the world, Donnie. I'll be involved in UNC Virginia to the over.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with you here, because also you're taking a look at a ACC tournament game. These guys are going to play it down to the wire. Virginia needs to win this game. So, Kevin, if they're down 7 with 30 seconds to go, you know, Bennett doesn't call off the dogs and say, hey, it was a great season, shake hands and leave. They foul up right to the very end. But also keep in mind, Virginia is a very slow team, but North Carolina, a very fast team. So we'll see whose tempo is actually going to give out here. If you take a look at some of the things that they like to do, it seems like we've capped Virginia quite a few times. A team that we just talked about in Syracuse, right, gives up the the most three-point shots in ACC play from a volume perspective. Well, Virginia is the exact opposite on offense. Dead last in the ACC at volume from three-point range. They look to score inside the paint. They do it quite well. Number one in their point distribution in ACC play from scoring inside the arc. It just fits the profile of this game, because if you're looking at coming down the stretch, you saw how ugly that Virginia game is. And Kevin, there's been so many times in the past, it's like, hey, I want to take this Virginia over. Now, what is that score at the half? 21-19. Obviously, it's not that low, but it just feels like it is at a glacier pace. North Carolina is going to push that tempo here. If Virginia can stick to the game plan, scoring inside, getting to the free throw line, having some success, this game should have a legitimate chance to go over that total. Because when you look at both sides here, it would be shocking for me, Kevin, if one of these teams, North Carolina or Virginia, ended up in the 50s with points. So both of these teams, Kevin, getting into the 60s gives you a legitimate chance. I think you're on the right path in this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game a ton. By the way, the most recent look at bracketology, Virginia went from the next four out line to the first four out, and they moved in front of Vatek. Vatek not now bounds to that next four out line, only one spot separating the two. Obviously, Virginia is a dog tonight, but a bigger win is obtainable for them than I would probably say Virginia Tech, who's playing a Notre Dame team. Look at all this ACC love here. Notre Dame team that checks in on the last four buys line. This is a spot where Notre Dame is probably good regardless, but a win secures them into the NCAA tournament. Vatek needs this one, Donnie, and it is a pick'em game here between the Fighting Irish and the Hokies.
And now, what's it going to come down to here for us, right? Because you're looking at two teams in ACC competition, Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, love the three ball, and they love to make it, Kevin. If we take a look at in-conference play, Notre Dame shooting 40% from behind the arc. If we take a look here at Virginia Tech, 38% behind the arc. And how about this? Number one in volume from behind the arc shooting the three-point shot, that's Virginia Tech. If you take a look at Notre Dame, number three in conference play. So I love these type of matchups here. And maybe it comes down to this, Kevin. If you look at Notre Dame here on defense, they're fifth in conference at chasing you off the three-point line, which isn't bad. So if you're number one in volume, Virginia Tech, you would have loved the matchup against, I don't know, a Syracuse, because, hey, we want to shoot threes, you let us shoot threes. But take a look at Notre Dame's defense in conference play behind the arc. Number two, holding opponents to under 30% from three-point range. And then vice versa, if we flip it over to Notre Dame, as we said, the number one overall team in conference play at making the three, they go up against the 14th rated ACC three-point defense. So if it just comes down to a three-point shot war, looks like Notre Dame's probably going to have the ability to win that today.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Both teams are playing some good ball coming into the tournament. Vatek's playing their best ball of the season, though. They started 2-7. 2-7 in ACC play, finished 11-9, which is impressive. Yep. They also hold a victory over Notre Dame. So the opportunity to secure a second one there is monstrous. It is interesting to me, though, with this Notre Dame group, by the way, who has entered playing seven consecutive overs. That's what they enter into this tournament here. Notre Dame is a team that, despite, you know, being 22-9, 15-5 in conference, win over Kentucky, and you see it on the recent bracketology, Don, they feel just complete. They don't move anybody. Nobody talks about Notre Dame as a sleeper, but they're like, maybe they don't deserve to be in. It's so interesting to see the way Notre Dame has been positioned throughout this season, DRS.
No, it certainly has been. And you bring up a good point here. If you look at Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, a lot of similarities as they close out the season. Very strong in ACC play. Should be a good one. And I love the three-point shot. You're going to get a lot of that today for both of these ball clubs.
Plenty more hoops breakdown throughout college. And, of course, a monster game in the NBA. Quick break. We're right back here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's close out the ACC. Boston College. And their, I don't want to say improbable run, because that's ridiculous. But they didn't surprise Wake Forest, no doubt. Double-digit dog, won in overtime. You didn't see that coming. Donnie and I, our boy Jaden Zachary, back out in the mix there, hits multiple threes. We should have been back to the window.
Tough scene
on him. But BC, DRS, they're catching still a ton of points here from the U. 7.5 total, just under that 140 marker. Basically the question is, can BC do it again?
I mean, I guess they can do it again, but we're also keep in mind, it's not like you're getting hot and you're running the gauntlet and you're beating top-level teams. You play another decent team in Miami here, but also keep in mind, 3 days, 3 games for BC. Yes, you get those good vibes, Kevin. Yes, you should be able to run up and down the court and say, hey, we've been there, done that, and we won a couple times here. But at the same time, this is the third straight day, third different opponent that you're getting ready for. Sooner or later, you're going to be up against it. And we're not calling out like, hey, it's Duke winning 3 games in their own 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's BC. So is this one we just ride the hot wave and you say, hey, Miami's just looking to get on the court here for the first time when Boston College is running hot at this time? And also saying overtime games? I think their luck runs out today against the Miami Hurricanes. But at the same time, do you want to bet those numbers? That's the interesting part.
Yeah, I've said kind of, and we saw this yesterday play out, kind of true to form. The ACC is going to have its upsets. That's where the conference has been this year. Yes, Duke feels very, very likely to probably still come away with the entire thing. And, you know, I would love to see if that Duke number, minus 125, minus 130, is stronger today than it was now that, you know, the teams have kind of tidied up there a little bit. They probably are a bigger favorite than anticipated in the second round when you consider, I believe, FSU was a slight favorite in the game. And then, of course, the fact that Syracuse is missing their top scorer. But I think one of those top four seeds does go down today. I know Va Tech is a pick'em, so that would feel like your most likely spot. I do anticipate an upset somewhere across the board. I think it could be Virginia, though, over UNC. We're going NBA next, though. It's hour number two. It's the early line, and it's live on SportsCenter.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money